We are at a period of our lives now where a lot of people are talking about the prophecies of end times. And I noticed that, of course, in your book. No, not at all. The legends of the end. Tell me a little bit about your take on all this.
Well, what I did, well, to begin with, my take on the fact that we're living in the end times is simply, even if you're not looking at prophecies and religious traditions, we know what's going on. I mean, there are more ways that the world could be damaged or destroyed than there ever have been, and we keep inventing new ones, nuclear weapons and, you know, biological warfare, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
We know the list, you know, and the ice caps are starting to melt, and we're in the middle of one of the biggest die-offs of species since the dinosaurs disappeared. And so here we are. And, you know, and so people are afraid. People are trying to make sense of this. And there's a question in my mind, what is the use of looking at these prophecies? There is a use to it, but I'm not sure we quite know what it is. What I have done is look at prophecies of the end times, sometimes from the original scriptures, like the original Zoroastrian scriptures, from a number of traditions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, then the Hopi prophecies and the prophecies of the Lakota, the Sioux Indians. And when you put all those together, of course, they're vastly different. They would have to be, just like...
But are there similarities, too?
The similarities are amazing.
Okay.
For example, the Hindus have basically an idea of four world ages. You know, there's the Golden Age, the Sakya Yuga, and then there's a Silver Age, Bronze Age. Now we're in the Kali Yuga, the Iron Age. Each one is shorter than the one before it. And Kali Yuga is the last age of the Mahayuga or the Manvantara, which is the big cycle of manifestation. And the way they talk about this mythologically is to say, well, there's the bull of the Dharma. And in the first age, he's standing on four legs. Second age, he loses a leg. He's standing on three legs. Third age, he's balancing on two legs. And now he's just standing on one leg.
Yeah.
But what is amazing is that the Sioux, the Lakota, have exactly the same myth, except with a buffalo.
And now that is strange.
Yeah, you know, in the first age, four legs, et cetera, et cetera. Now he's standing on one leg, and we're about at the end of this world. And
I mean, is there any way one civilization could have known about what the other was writing?
Ask yourself, when were these the same people, or when were they in contact?
Yeah.
It would have to be fantastically ancient. And, you know, when you see certain Christian elements in American Indian, Native American mythology or legend, you have to say, well, when did the missionaries get there? And, you know, this could be something they picked up here and there. But there haven't been Hindu missionaries, you know, going out to the American Indians. And I don't know if there have been yet, but there certainly weren't when these stories were collected. So it is striking to see things like that. The Zoroastrians have an end-time prophecy of a meteorite or asteroid hitting the Earth, which has been big in our minds recently. And,
right,
of course, that's the same thing as the star Wormwood in the apocalypse that will fall. And, in fact, I found a line from the apocalypse in an ancient Hindu scripture. I believe it was one of the Puranas, I think it was the Vishnu Purana, where the Kalki Avatara, who's the last of the 10 avatars of Vishnu, which means, you know, in Christianity there's one avatar, let us say Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. In Hinduism, you know, the aspect of the divine known as Vishnu sends down 10 avatars throughout the cycle of manifestation. And the last one is the Kalki Avatara. He comes at the end of his world.
He'd be number 10?
Yeah, he'd be number 10. And I think I may be wrong here, but I think number 9 was finally considered to be the Buddha. But number 10 is Kalki is yet to come, and he will ride on a white horse and wield a sword and mow down, you know, the evil people of the latter days. And he says of himself, "I am the beginning and the end." Now, anybody who's read the Apocalypse knows that this is the figure of Jesus Christ, or in the Apocalypse called the Word of the Lord, who also rides on a white horse with a sword, and also says, "I am the beginning and the end." So, who got it from who, or do they both get it from,
right,
the same place?
Exactly. And if they got it from the same place, that tells us something.
Well, it tells us that people have gotten pretty deep throughout religious history. I mean, there have been people who have dedicated their whole lives to seeing as deeply into things as they possibly could. And some of these people, you know, as it were, they transcended the whole world age and in a way stood outside of it, and so they could see the beginning and the end of it. And when they looked at the end of it, a lot of them saw the same things.
Do they all, these various traditions, these eight traditions, do they all talk about an Antichrist?
More than you would think. Actually, the Antichrist, there's an Antichrist figure in Judaism who's you know, sort of half-developed, but there, you know, there are places in the Old Testament where there are figures that are like Antichrist. And, of course, there's the Antichrist that's talked about in the New Testament. But in Islam, actually, the Prophet Muhammad said more about the Antichrist than anyone else of, you know, of his stature. I mean, there's certainly been a lot of writing about the Antichrist later in Christianity, but the Prophet himself, who founded the religion of Islam, talked about the Antichrist and what would be the signs of his coming and what he would look like. I think he's supposed to be, you know, red-haired and freckled and blind in one eye, things like this. There's a lot of, about the Antichrist in Islam. I even found something about the Antichrist in Tibetan Buddhism. There's a figure called Hanumanda in some scriptures, and I think he has other names in others. This is in the Kala Chakra tradition, which is probably pre-Buddhist, very ancient Central Asian spiritual tantric tradition.
Do they all talk about, let's say, a Noah's Ark, a flood?
Well, many of them do.
My gosh.
And, you know, I haven't gone through all of the stories of the flood, but I know that there are certainly Sumerian stories, and the flood tends to be a universal story. Not all flood stories have an arc, but the Sumerian one, I believe, does. And so,
you have to assume, with all these similarities, that something happened like that.
Well, when you're talking about a flood, certainly it has a symbolic and allegorical meaning, but it was probably a real event.